Joining me this morning over the phone once again is 19th District Senator Jeff Olson. Good morning, sir. Good to talk to you again.
Oh, good morning, Kyle. Great to be on your show and look forward to discussing the important stuff with you here.
We haven't had a chance to talk to you in a little while. Since the last time that we talked, the governor has indicated that the pandemic is coming to an end. The president said the pandemic is over, and Governor Inslee has said that the emergency proclamations and the state of emergency within the state are going to be ending by October 31st. Still, a couple things that came in the pandemic are going to stick around, but the pandemic is over. And do you feel better already? Everything's changed now, right?
Absolutely. Well, everything is starting to change for the better. You know, it's ironic that October 31st was picked as the date to, I guess, predict in the future to end the emergency. But listen, for you and your listeners, Kyle, after over 2.5 years of one person making the decisions, this is a very good step, you know, to end, I would say, well, the heavy-handedness of emergency powers. And quite frankly, it coming on October 31st, I don't know whether this is trick or treat. We'll wait or see, but this is a good time because another session, having to send your legislators into another session with lack of input availability, that would have been catastrophic. So I'm grateful that he's finally declared the end. A little late, but we'll take it.
We're looking at this, and we've discussed a number of times before your desire to put in some sort of rules within the legislature and through the state that limit the possibility of this type of years-long one-person state of emergency, the kind of not allowing these to be put in place. Of course, if an emergency does occur that lasts that long, that's one thing, but having some sort of legislative oversight along with that to take away, like you said, the one-person rule, I imagine that those are still coming in the legislative session as you plan for January.
Absolutely, Kyle. You know, my very first year of having the honor of being sent to Olympia, I was co-sponsoring a bill right off the bat that really would restore the balance of power. And like you said, it's not that the governor shouldn't have that great responsibility. Somebody needs to sound the alarm button. Somebody needs to pull the trigger and say, look, this is an emergency, and I respect that such power. What I don't respect is the mandate-type emergency powers that dictate everybody's everyday life without the input of other electeds. That, well, we're supposed to do our job. And, you know, for your listeners, I have been critical of the governor, but I'd like to make it very clear on the record. It has nothing to do with whether the governor is a Republican or a Democrat. That is absolutely never part of the discussion. What the discussion needs to take place through legislative reform is giving the balance of power to allow a voice to weigh in. And for over 2.5 years, the legislature has been put on mute by one person. And we have seen the results of his actions. And I'm quite frankly, it allows the room for lots of criticism, but now it's time for us to kind of let a lot of that go and turn it into a learning experience. I am so excited about the potential for emergency power reform. I think everybody deserves it, and this is our shot this year. It's time to legislature up.
And talking about that legislation again, it wouldn't be something that the state law said Governor Jay Inslee can't do this. This would be whether there'd be a Republican, Democrat, Green, Libertarian, Duck, whatever it is in office in the legislature. This is just an oversight just in case. You talked about this being kind of a learning experience from looking back over the last couple of years. When we are looking back, there's been a lot of changes all across the board, just habits, the way that we approach things, and schools of course, going into the remote thing, I think that we've lost snow days for most schools going forward, and just the way that everything has been interacted, there's been a lot of changes since the pandemic started.
Absolutely, Kyle. I don't think you have long enough radio show time to go over the list of impacts and changes. And public education, our K-12 system, it was flipped upside down. And we clearly now have the known results of, well, I guess our way kind of faltering through the COVID and, you know, following the mandates of the governor. And then, of course, the Office of Public Instruction there for schools. We know that our children, we know for a fact the learning loss is really the new emergency. Emergency was declared because of this ugly virus. Well, now I'm going to declare as a senator, we now have an educational crisis. Our children are coming out with less math skills, reading, writing, the basics. Quite frankly, we failed. We failed. And what does this learning loss mean to those 2 years or so for our children and for them to be, you know, benefited from supposedly a quality education system? It's kind of, we've got a lot of catch up to do to resolve. And how do you fix that learning loss? Because we need proficient students to be turned out. We're certainly paying for it. As a state.
I know that, of course, test scores don't always just mean everything, but it does give you a solid representation of what the future students are doing. And this is likely a hindrance on students. It's not as if the students can't learn as much, but the way that that material is disseminated, being able to work in groups and different things to get this learning, it has absolutely changed across the board.
You know, Kyle, you've actually opened up another door, and you've hit it on that nail with that hammer. It's the way that we interact. Sometimes it's the environment of learning. And how do we get to really coexist and to participate as well as people? And so remotely, how do you do all that when you were sitting in front of a computer screen and being educated? Where was the conversing with somebody sitting next to you, interacting with other people closely in person? I don't even know how to begin to measure that loss. I'm just hoping that we realize that we do need to interact with each other physically in person rather than on TV or on our computer, because I think it'll help us with conflict resolution and be able to resolve problems in a more, I would say, more quality way versus, well, I'm going to log in and log out and my friends exist on a tablet or a computer. I don't think we're built as a society to function like that, Kyle.
And the good news is, I mean, the latest results, that numbers are making some improvements, but it is not a massively quick process. When we look at, I mean, looking back, there's all sorts of things that we're going to have learning opportunities from this. But now looking forward, priorities, we were talking off the air a little bit about making sure that our area in coastal Washington and Southwest Washington are fully represented in all sorts of decisions across the state. One of the things that you had mentioned, and I hadn't even realized, was representation on our fish and wildlife. I mean, lots of the Fish and Wildlife Commission topics are coastal steelhead, the Willapa Bay fishery, the European green crab, and all sorts of things that are directly impacting us, both in hunting, fishing, and just business and commerce. But we don't really have a seat at the table on that that small Fish and Wildlife Commission.
Absolutely, Kyle. Recently, I sent a letter out to Governor Inslee on this topic, and it's to express the honest concern that we are not represented in the 19th District on the Fish and Wildlife Commission. You know, these are wonderful people that serve on the commission, but they're fully appointed. So this is something that the governor has control over, and I'll offer that you're right, hunting, fishing, just being in our beautiful great outdoors is one thing, but then you tie into decision making. For example, well, what about offshore wind energy? Is that something that would affect fish and wildlife and maybe the commission would weigh in on? Well, of course. But in doing that, where's our seat at the table? And I'll offer there isn't one current commissioner seated that is from our district, Kyle. You know, the district where we like to go out and drop crab pots and go fishing and hunting. It's absolutely unacceptable how Olympia or the governor's appointment process is, well, shuts out our beautiful 19th district here.
We do have one representative from Jefferson County, but on the eastern side of Jefferson County, and that's that Western Washington position. I mean, the Fish and Wildlife Commission is not the only time this has kind of come up. When you look across the boards and commissions statewide and representation that the governor has appointed, there is a distinct lack of coastal and Southwest Washington representation. You just don't see many people that are sitting on the Grays Harbor or Pacific County areas that are sitting on these boards and commissions. And this has been a concern for years. That's not all on the governor. It's not as if he's going out and searching for the whatever 100 plus commissions that he's on and handpicking everyone. But it's an opportunity for people within our region to put their names in and make their names known that they'd like to sit on some of these boards and commissions. And it would be a good voice to have as these things go on to legislators down the road.
Well, you know, Kyle, it's not as if the citizens are interested in the 19th legislative district. They are. It matters. In January, there will be three commission positions will open and become available in just January in 2023, just a few short months away. And I know for a fact, Kyle, there are residences in our district that have applied for that and have applications to be appointed in this coming January. So I'm being very proactive and saying, look, dear Governor Inslee, there is an RCW. It's a 77... Oh, don't quote me, Kyle, but it's 77 dot something that requires fair and equal representation and consideration for regions. So I'm sounding the alarm right now because that's, well, quite frankly, that's part of my responsibility is to say there is an imbalance and I'd like an opportunity to correct it. So the time is now and I hope that we can get some fairness in the appointment process very soon.
As a Western Washington position that is going to expire at the end of the year, Don McIsaac's position, that he is going to be retiring, and he's from the Pacific Fishery Management Council, so there is some at least consideration, and then there's an at-large position as well that are going to be coming up this year. Both of them have been serving for 5 years, so it's an opportunity, but more and more people from our region that are on these boards and commissions, whether it's the State Committee for the Blind or for Coastal Washington or WCMAC and the Marine Advisory Council looking at this coastal offshore wind. It's all things that the more representation that we have, the better. But we'll hope that we get some more people interested in that to put their names in. And we look forward to talking to you as we get closer to the legislative session. And hopefully we can get some changes that get some of these people in place.
Absolutely, Kyle. Well said. And that's all we seek is fairness and representation.
19th District Senator Jeff Wilson, good thank you for joining us once again.
Thank you, Kyle. Look forward to visiting anytime.